The following program is intended for mature audiences.
And the kick is blocked! Appalachian State has stunned the college football world, one of the greatest upsets in sports history.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
College football.
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, technically, I guess we're going to be folding in the Basically a Football Show into the regular shows.
Yes.
Is that what we're kind of describing? So, okay.
Yeah, because so, you're going to be so busy covering sports and all that, and I'm going to be busy, so we thought, and it kind of takes away from Basically a Sports Show, and we take the football out of it. So, yes, Basically a Football Show has been usurped by the mighty Basically a Sports Show. Just like Walmart comes in and wipes out everything, that's what we're doing here.
Is that kind of like how they turned ABC Sports into ESPN on ABC for a while there?
Yes. I don't know, but okay. That's what we're going to go with.
Okay.
Yes, very similar. This is, you know, an ESPN on ABC production. It's a football show on sports show production. College football, the season technically started already. You had Stanford play Rice down in Sydney, which was snooze fest.
I didn't even know that was taking place.
Yeah, it was last weekend.
And okay. Rice still has a football team?
Yeah, yeah.
The Rice Owls.
Oregon State played at Colorado State to open up Colorado State's new stadium. And I think that's all the major college games that happened last weekend. There might have been others, but none that mattered, of course. This is the first true weekend of college football. We got some big games coming up. You got your Alabama, Florida States, number one versus number three. You got your Michigan, Floridas. You got a lot of things going on this weekend, so that'll be fun for everybody. But you know, in the past, we've gone through conference by conference and team by team, and it can get a little tedious. So to kind of condense things and maybe make it a little bit more fun to actually talk about, we're just going to go through the majority of the top 25. Some of these teams I just don't give a damn about, so they don't get to talk about.
Sorry, South Florida.
Yeah, it's truly, South Florida is one of the teams I'm looking at there.
The local hubbub here in Tampa is that South Florida is going to go undefeated.
Oh, well, they probably could. I'd have to see their schedule, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
You know what? I'm going to bring up their schedule. South Florida played a game. They were one of the teams that did play.
Yes, they beat San Jose
State.
Yeah.
30. Oh, well, with strength of schedule like that, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Well, yeah, they've got a pretty good program down there.
They have no ranked teams on their schedule.
Yeah.
So, hey, why not? Sure.
I'm just saying that there's a lot of talk around. I even had a coworker telling me, it's like, hey, you know, they could if they go undefeated and a few of the big dogs slip up and lose a game or two, who knows?
Well, hey, I mean – look out for them this weekend. You know, when they host the Stony Brook Seawolves, throw the record out when those two teams meet.
I know. I'm looking at the schedule here. My Toledo Rockets on Thursday play something called Elon. I guess it's a college, right?
That's a made up word.
Sure.
You would think.
It's Elon Musk University.
All I'm saying is that, okay, South Florida versus Rocky, whatever you said.
The Stony Brook Seawolves.
The Stony is probably more of a legitimate rivalry than UConn and Central Florida.
Probably, yeah.
Hey, same conference.
Hey, did they ever find that trophy? Speaking of that, I know they left it land just like we predicted they would.
It's probably still there.
The grounds team is just working around it.
It's sitting underneath the bench, and when they have to cut the grass, they just pick it up and cut the grass and set it back down and leave it there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to go through the majority of these teams. One, or some of these are kind of like multiple part questions, but one burning question or question about this team that needs to be answered this season. So we'll start one because, you know, you can't avoid them. They're here again. The Alabama Crimson Tide, number one team in the country with 52 first place votes in the AP top 25, the overwhelming number one. So despite actually losing the national championship for once last season, is it still Alabama's world until they lose again? Or do we think that if they still lose to Florida State in week one, do we still think that if they lose to Florida State in week one, even if they lose,
are
they still the team to beat always?
We've been through this on basically a football show numerous times with the Bama Crimson Tide, and when we want to count them out, you just can't. I got to say that unless they lose, I'm going to say three games, they're going to be in it all the way to the end. It's going to take three losses to completely knock them out of the title picture. So, yeah, even if they lose to – who are they playing, Florida State?
Florida State, number three.
If they lose to Florida State, first off, that won't be what they call a bad loss because it's Florida State and they're ranked number three. But, yeah, I think that until they're – you know, until we're stomping on their dead bodies, they're still alive as far as I can see, yeah.
They are – I don't know. If they lose to Florida State in week one, I think at that – I mean, they're not going to – I don't think they're going to drop out of the top four. But if they lose to Florida State, I do think it suddenly opens everything up because, honestly, just the way that it looks right now, it does again look like, well, it's Alabama's to lose.
Right.
And
I'm looking at their schedule, and they don't have the toughest go of things this year when it comes to the SEC slate. So Florida State week one, that's a tough one. But even if they lose, then it's Fresno, Colorado State, at Vanderbilt, home against a bad Ole Miss team this year. Then they're at Texas A&M, who's can be a threat, but not usually. Then they get Arkansas at home, Tennessee at home, LSU at home, at Mississippi State, who's down. Is that Mercer?
Yeah, well, that's like we've talked about numerous times. They always have a scrimmage before they play Auburn, right, in the Iron Bowl.
Really, their only tough game – they have two tough games, the Florida State opener and at Auburn to close it out. That's the bulk of their schedule.
Yep.
And if they lose that Auburn game, even if they're both – say they're both one-loss teams going into that game, if they lose to Auburn, then they're not going to make the national title – or the playoff, I don't think, based on they wouldn't be in the SEC championship and so on.
Yeah, but that's what it's going to take to get them out of the picture. So a loss to Florida State this weekend would not be the end of the world for them. I mean, you don't
– Right. The loss – they can lose to Florida State. They can't lose to Auburn at the end of it.
Yeah, and like they always say, if you're going to lose in college football, lose early. Don't lose late.
Right,
and that
exactly.
This would be the time. But, yeah, it's just – I don't even know what you say about them anymore. What more can we say but just that they are the dominant force in college football. And it's their world, and we're just hoping to get a shot at them, basically.
I was listening to plenty of previews and stuff, you know, trying to get a little of information. And one of the previews that I listen to all the time and I trust a lot, they even said, like, when they prefaced their thing, they're like, really, this is probably going to be the quickest team we talk about in the entire preview segment that they were going to do, because there's nothing to say about them. Like, even if they lose players, the guys that they have coming up are five-star recruits.
Mm-hmm.
They're all blue-chip prospects. You know, the guys they have coming back are only going to get stronger. So what?
Whoa. Zach, are you suggesting that Alabama has an extremely strong recruiting class, even though they are not engaged in stupid uniform shenanigans?
It's hard to believe, but correct.
Okay. But their uniforms aren't lit in fire.
No.
But you know what are lit in fire, Mike? Are those great big championship rings that they flash in everybody's faces.
Yep.
Well, I've been under the impression that if it's not a gaudy uniform, then nobody cares. But, you know, that's just me.
Well, and of course, I was going to – part of the question that I was going to put in there was something about Nick Saban being grumpy and angry. But he was already – like, he already passed his quota of him not caring about stuff last week. Somebody asked him about the eclipse. And what do you think Nick Saban was – his response to the eclipse was?
I'm not –
Just focus on Florida State in week one.
Yeah, that basically.
He basically acted like he had no idea what was happening. He's like, I watch the Weather Channel. I know what's going on, but who cares? I'm not going to.
I just don't think that's a healthy lifestyle. I'm surprised these guys don't drop dead from stress-related heart attacks every day.
To be fair, didn't Kubiak have a stroke on the sidelines?
Yeah.
So,
But that's the thing with that. It's like you wonder why – not that it happens, but why it doesn't happen more often.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, but you're right. With Alabama, there's not a lot to say. If they lose a couple of times, well, then we've got a discussion. But until then, it's – you know, we're all chasing them, basically.
Let me see if I can find the quote here. Okay. We'll set it up so the players want to go out there and they can get some sunglasses and look at it. I guess they can. That's not something that I'm really focused on right now. I watch the Weather Channel every day and already said what it's going to look like in every city in America. So what's going to be significant? If you watch the Weather Channel, you can see what's going to be like in Portland and Clayton, Georgia. Number one place in the country if you have to have 100%. My house there is probably going to be the only empty house on the lake. Maybe we should have a team meeting about how we're going to do this.
Well, see, Nick, let me clue you in a little bit like about life here. Here's the thing, okay? If you can watch it on the Weather Channel, what difference does it make? That's like saying, well, if I can look at a picture of the Grand Canyon, why bother? If I can look at a picture of the Mona Lisa, why go see it in the Louvre? That's the difference, dude. Some people like to experience life, and apparently you're not one of them. But anyway.
He also did this with a giant cup of Coke sipping out of a straw, along with a Coke bottle placed on the podium there.
Gee, so. I wonder if Coke's sponsoring Alabama this year.
Them and AT&T. Who knew? but yeah, so Alabama, far and away, you know, it seems ridiculous at this point. But like, it's funny to think of a time when Alabama was actually down. Like, remember when they almost got the death penalty and how bad they were?
Mm-hmm. Like, there was a stretch there. I would say in the 80s even that they were not what they are now. I think they rose up and won in the title with a coach named Gene Stallings a ways back. But this is. I mean, they've always been one of the premier college football programs, but this run of dominance is really unprecedented in college football. I've never seen it before. I mean, maybe back.
It's kind of a joke. It's not even fun to talk about, really.
No, if there's one team that's less interesting to talk about than the Patriots, it's these guys.
Yeah,
they're just, you know, the only exciting thing that they do is lose, because other than that, it's everything's, you know, going as expected.
All right, so we'll move on from number one. We'll go to, I guess we'll talk about the number two team in the country. with three first-place votes, the Ohio State Buckeyes. My question, though, does Ohio State make the playoff even when they finally lose to Michigan this season?
Well, first off, let's not kid ourselves. We're not losing to Michigan this season.
They're playing at the Big House. Michigan's ranked number 11.
Yeah, that's all well and good. Here's the thing with the Michigan game. And Ohio State's had a real, really dominant run with that rivalry the past, I don't know, 10 years or so.
Yep.
And every year I go into it and I go, okay, it'll be okay if we lose it this year because this or that happened and it'll be all right. But then when the game gets here, I'm like, well, no, let's push it back one more year. This year I'm kind of like, you know, they're ranked number two. If everything goes well, they should be able to make a pretty strong case for a spot in the playoffs. Yeah. So now I've got to push back that loss to Michigan yet another year. So, will they be a playoff team? They're both in the same division, right?
Yeah.
So, it would take Michigan losing a couple times. It would have to be so that game didn't really matter as far as standings go for Ohio State to still be in the running.
Correct.
If Ohio State and Michigan are playing for that side of the Big Ten title, losing to Michigan could knock them out. But I don't see that happening. We're going to do a thing later where we talk about teams that are ranked too high, not high enough. I've got a few things to say about Michigan when we get there.
Well, I mean, don't forget, with the playoff last year, Penn State was the Big Ten champion and was not in the playoff.
Yeah.
Ohio State made the playoff, right?
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
I think that was 2 years ago. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, because Ohio State lost to, Michigan State early on, right? And couldn't.
Yep.
Were mathematically eliminated from playing for the Big Ten title.
Yeah, it was like this really weird year where Penn State won the Big Ten, but everyone knew that both Michigan and Ohio State were better, so whoever ended up winning that game at the end of the year got the playoff spot.
Right. And Ohio State lost to Clemson, right? Last year? Yeah, that's right. I remember now. Okay. I just want to ask, JT Barrett, starting quarterback again for the Buckeyes, right?
I don't know.
Is this, I think his seventh or eighth season right now.
Jesus.
It's like he went from this kid that was a freshman like I don't know, 8 years ago. And it's like, geez, shouldn't he have graduated like 5 years ago now?
I don't believe he's still on the – oh, no, there he is, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's like his seventh or eighth season with the Buckeyes. I guess he's just –
He got kind of screwed over, though. You know, with the way the quarterbacks started coming out of there.
Yeah.
Because at first, because you had Cardale Jones.
Right.
Who came out of nowhere.
Mike's Los Angeles Chargers now, by the way.
Woo!
Who was the other quarterback that, like, got in his way and, like, usurped him? Was it Terrell Pryor?
No, not Terrell Pryor. Oh, geez.
Oh, the white
Braxton
kid.
Miller. Braxton Miller was the other one.
Yeah.
Braxton Miller. Miller. Yep.
Right. Yeah. So he kind of got – and he got injured a couple times and redshirted and medical waivers and, yeah, somehow he still –
That's why he is. That's why he's 31 years old and still playing at Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State is in a good spot too. Like, their schedule is pretty simple. They open with Indiana. Strangely, they open with a Big Ten team right out of the gate.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was odd too. They've got number 7 Oklahoma in week 2. That could be interesting.
Yeah, but again, I mean, we were going to talk about if these teams are ranked too high or too low. Oklahoma again, like it's number 7. That's where they always are going to start. But God knows they're probably not the 7th best team in the country. And then you get Army and UNLV and Rutgers and Maryland and Nebraska. Your only other tough game outside of Michigan is Penn State, and that's at home.
It's at home. Yep.
You're at Iowa, home against Michigan State, home against Illinois, and then you're at Michigan. Like it's kind of a red carpet for the Buckeyes to.
They've definitely got everything lined up for a run at the playoff as long as they don't screw up.
Yeah.
And, that's going to be the question. But, you know, I like the fact that Barrett's back and he's experienced. That help. That's a whole big lot of help in college football to have an experienced quarterback. They've got good weapons. The defense is going to be tough. So they've just basically got to stay out of their own way and don't trip over themselves. And they should roll into that Michigan game undefeated.
In theory. Florida State is your number 3 team for first place votes. Again, I think with Florida State, if they lose this opening game to Alabama, are they kind of out of it?
I think so. Because first off, it's the ACC, and
but they do get Clemson and Florida and Louisville. Those are all ranked teams on their schedule. Miami is on the schedule as well. Actually, a pretty rough schedule for the Seminoles.
That's what I don't see them, and I could be wrong, but I just think that this might be a year, you know, a down year for them. They might lose 3 games this year. I don't think they're quite as dominant as the rankings would have you believe. I'm not saying they're not good. They're good, but I don't know that I'd have them this high.
Their team is going to get beat around. Because the other problem is not only do they have the ACC schedule to worry about, and if they get it through, like, in a good position and possibly go to the ACC title game, they still have to play at Florida the week before that,
mm-hmm.
which would hurt their playoff chances at the end of it.
Yeah.
DeAndre Francois is the quarterback there for the Seminoles. No crab legs in his past.
Oh, that's good.
Good to know.
Mike, I'm sure Florida State is talked about all up and down that little thing that sticks out of our country that we call Florida.
Yeah. In fact, I dare say even with USF being in town that Florida State's probably the most popular of the Florida-based schools in
really?
Tampa.
Even more than the Gators in Tampa?
I've seen more FSU gear than I have being worn around than I have Gators gear.
I think it's recently. It's kind of a geographical thing. Because my feeling too, when I was in the Tampa area, was that Florida State was definitely the more popular of the two teams. They're the Gulf side team, and the Gators are kind of like the coast side team, the Atlantic side team. If that makes sense.
And the team of the swamp,
right?
So the middle of the state.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, I've definitely seen a lot of Florida State gear around. They are talked about, and people. I've heard a lot of talk about this kind of being sort of it's weird to say their year because they won the national title not too long ago.
Yeah.
The hubbub seems to be that the Seminoles are going to do well this year. This is going to be a banner year for them.
Well,
I think now that I kind of think about it, so I think that might be the case, but they still have a good shot. So if they lose to Alabama in week 1, it depends on how the game goes. If it's a blowout, then maybe you reassess them. But if it's semi-competitive, then probably don't knock them down too far. And as far as the teams that are ranked on their schedule, we're going to talk about some of them here, but I don't agree with some of these rankings for them. Like, is Miami, a ranked team to be afraid of? Maybe
I forgot Mark Richt is there, but the Canes get ranked every year, and then they go out and they end up starting the season like 5-3, and that's the end of it.
Louisville has that quarterback, Lamar Jackson, that was incredible, but you get another year to look at him. Maybe they figure out how to contain him better.
Right.
Clemson is still number 5 in the country, and I don't know about that. I think that's probably a little high for them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And Florida is another team like the Hurricanes that gets ranked all the time, but does this Florida team have any offense this year?
That was my question. If the Gators can score points, they're going to be very, very, very tough because that defense is a monster. Yeah. I mean, we saw them how many times last year? 13-10 games and stuff like that because they just couldn't score. But, man, that defense, you couldn't score on them either. So they put together even a decent offense, and they're going to be a handful of the Florida Gators. But that's the trick with that group.
Mm-hmm. So the Florida State, it depends on what happens in week one. And then really the thing that will help them is the quality of their opponents.
Yep.
They need Miami to be good. They need Louisville to be good. They need Clemson to stay up there before that game comes. And they play at Clemson. So who knows? Maybe Clemson does acquit themselves of this number 5 ranking that they have. And maybe that's a tougher game than I think. But who knows? Number 4 team in the country is the USC Trojans. 2 first place votes in the AP poll. The Trojans, of course, USC always gets the benefit of the doubt a lot because they're one of those legacy schools. And they had a surge last season. They won the Rose Bowl in incredible fashion. They have Sam Darnold, who's a Heisman candidate. So here's the questions for USC. Does Sam Darnold win the Heisman in a runaway? And how long will he last in a New York Jets uniform? And how many picks should the Rams trade to get him?
How many picks do the Rams have? However many they have is how many they should trade.
The reason that's cracking me up more than even normal is because that's exactly what I was thinking. How many do they have?
Yeah.
This USC team is, will he win the Heisman? I don't know who the rest of the contenders are, but he's the guy that they've been talking about him since the end of last season, this kid. The way they finished the season, they're going to be – this is a team I like a lot. Now, I could be wrong, and plus they play – and maybe top to bottom, maybe it's not the toughest conference in the country. Maybe it's not quite the level of the SEC, but you talk about a conference that just eats its own, and that's the Pac-12. And that makes it very, very tough. But if they can get through that, I like their chances a lot. I think this is a really good USC team this year.
Yeah, in terms of the Pac-12, like just kind of looking through the Pac-12, I honestly think USC will be fine. I mean, their only real roadblock, I think, is Washington. Do they even play Washington?
They don't play them in the regular season.
No.
They would play them in the title game.
Yeah.
But they've got Stanford in week 2, which is, depending on what the Cardinals do, they're always tough.
Right. You look at their schedule, and the hard part of their schedule is the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Western Michigan, whatever. But home against Stanford, Stanford finds a way to make games in the Coliseum rougher than they should.
Yep.
If Texas is as good as people think that they're on the rise again, then that game – in the Coliseum, first off, Trojan fans will be looking for blood because it's the first time that they played Texas since
the Vince Young game. Yeah.
And then they're at Cal, who can put up points, and they're at Washington State, who can always put up a ton of points. But after that, Oregon State, Utah, they're at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, Utah can be tough, but not at the Coliseum or at the Rose Bowl. They play the Coliseum.
The rest of those games are
Notre Dame.
Winnable.
Yeah.
Winnable. So it's that first stretch that will really test them, and if they can get through it unscathed, then they'll be fine.
Yeah, if they can come out of Washington State undefeated, they're going to run the table and they'll be in the playoff.
I think so.
I think that they're just going to be okay. I don't think the Pac-12 is going to be as dominant as it has been. It kind of just feels like the era, like the Pac-12, kind of peaked. I think Mariota and the Oregon Ducks making a run at the national title. Obviously, they didn't win it. They lost to your Buckeyes, Greg.
That's right.
But I think that run and sort of all the hubbub around that was kind of like the peak of the Pac-12 as sort of a unit. And a lot of that's fallen by the wayside. I think now USC is certainly a very good team. And I think Washington is still certainly a good team. But other than that, I don't think the Pac-12 as a whole is going to be as dangerous as a lot of people think it is.
Yeah, it could be.
I think it's that brings up an interesting point that, there's always the talk of, which conference is actually the best conference in college football.
SEC.
Right. It's people always say the SEC, but the SEC is down this year. I mean, you have your Alabamas, you have your LSUs, you have, the kind of cream of the crop, Auburn's up there too. But the rest of it is actually pretty bad this year.
It's very top heavy, the SEC, where that wasn't – used to be – it was like the fifth place team in the SEC was still good enough to knock off anybody in the league, and that's just not the case anymore.
Right.
Well, you misunderstand in that the SEC is always the answer, even if it's not factually true.
Well, right. And the argument is always, well, what conference could – challenge the SEC.
I don't know. Ohio State did a pretty good job with them in 2014, just saying.
Right. Well,
Clemson did okay with them last year.
Yeah, I think the ACC might be the answer at this point. Because the Big 12, God knows the Big 12 can't play enough defense to hang with anybody. The Big 10, outside of the top teams, I mean, Iowa can give you a fight, but they're not like
Big Ten's a lot like the SEC. It's very top heavy. You've got the Ohio State, Michigan.
I think about it, I think that's kind of the case for all these conferences this year.
Yeah,
a lot of top heaviness now that you're kind of like.
Yeah, I think that the SEC had that stretch there where they were just brutal top to bottom. I mean, even Vanderbilt was winning 6-7 games a year.
Well, that was the Jay Cutler era, of course.
Right. Yeah, and now not so much, but.
Jay Cutler graduated from Vanderbilt. How did you process that?
I don't know. He doesn't seem like a Vanderbilt guy, does he?
No, not really.
But isn't Vanderbilt like the school that the SEC keeps around to keep the GPA up?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
If that's the case, then it makes sense because Jay Cutler's the only one smart enough not to give a shit.
Anyway.
True. But yeah, I think – so, USC closes at the top four. So when it comes to – If the playoff were to start today, sort of things, your playoff would be Alabama versus USC and Ohio State versus Florida State.
That's a hell of a playoff. If you could get that in real life, that would be something.
That would probably be a near perfect playoff.
Yep.
When it comes to, like, maybe they would want in a perfect world. Do you take out Florida State for Texas?
No.
Like, I'm not talking about just this year, but in terms of, like, college football programs.
Oh, okay. If you're talking, like, in terms of, like, overall popularity, yeah. Yeah. You want to get a Texas team in there.
You want Alabama. You want Ohio State. You want USC.
And you want Texas. And you've got the entire country covered. Yep.
Yeah. Because I guess Alabama covers Florida, too, so you don't need Florida State in there. But, like you said, but as it stands right now, it's pretty perfect in terms of covering the country and covering, the big fan bases and the TV watching and all that sort of stuff, that gets just about everything.
Yeah.
And, it would probably be Alabama out of that, right?
I don't know. I like my Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah. Yeah, JT Barrett in his 8 years of
right.
Service.
Right. You can't put a price tag on 8 years of college football experience. Come on.
It's not wrong.
And I hear he's only 3 years away from a degree.
Do you remember there was a Syracuse basketball player, like a white kid, and I swear to God, he was there for like 9 years.
How do you pull that off? Do you just keep flunking one class?
he was only there for the maximum five, with a red shirt or something. But it just seemed like he was there forever.
Uh-huh.
And you can't get rid of some of these kids. But, yeah, JT Barry is one of them. I really can't believe that he was still on the team.
I was surprised, I saw that, and I thought, geez, he's still here. But that's good. I'll be happy with that. He's a good quarterback. He might be in the Heisman running, too, depending on the start he gets off to.
So we'll get away from them and we'll keep moving down the list here. Number five is the Clemson Tigers. So Clemson finally won.
Yeah.
They won the whole damn thing. They won a national title.
First time since 1981.
You know, congratulations to Clemson. You won. It's great. So here's the real question for Clemson. In which of their first five games will they return to form? Will they lose to Kent State, Auburn, at Louisville, versus Boston College, or at Virginia Tech? Who do they lose to?
I'm gonna be a fanboy and say Auburn.
I'm gonna go one game later and say that BC trips them up.
Really?
Yeah.
I think.
But this season, I don't know. And maybe again, I'm just basing this on pure gut feeling. But this season has Clemsoning written all over it. Like they could Clemson two or three times in the schedule because first off, you're coming off a national championship.
Yep.
You've lost your quarterback. He's playing with the Houston Texans now. And you've got some games in here that aren't going to actually
arguably
be walks
a
in
step
the park.
Down.
Huh?
Arguably a step down for him.
Yeah, exactly. You got Auburn is going to be very tough. Louisville's not going to be a walk in the park. Virginia Tech's always tough. I could see them. I don't know. I think if you're talking about teams that are ranked a little too highly, I think our defending national champions might be one of those teams looking at the schedule.
But at the same time... I'm not going to deny that they are ranked highly, but at the same time, they are the defending national champs, so I don't know how you can't do that. Like you kind of do have to put them up there. Yeah, and I think they put them as – I think they realized that, and they put them as low as they possibly could. Like they didn't put them in the top four.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that you got to give – I'm going to say they get five spots for being the national champion. So are they really more like the 10th ranked team? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, trying to look at the rest of these guys, there is a drop off as there is a lot of the time, you know, from the top three or top four to the rest of it. And I see that with Clemson. I think Clemson's probably too high. I think Penn State's too high. Oklahoma will regress as they always do.
Yeah. Well, what Oklahoma will do is what they always do. They'll come out, lose early. And fall out, and then they'll catch fire towards the end because they'll be playing all those weak-ass Big 12 teams and get this false sense of how good they are back into the playoff mix again, and they're not worthy of it.
Yeah. I think, you know, Clemson get the benefit of the doubt. I think they're a team that you need to see what they have to really make a good assessment of them because, you know, when you lose your national championship quarterback – it's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
And they're not going to prove that against Kent State this weekend. You know, sorry, Flashes. if Clemson can make it through Auburn and Louisville and Virginia Tech 2 weeks after that, then you can lock them in as, okay,
yeah.
The team on the radar, look out for that matchup against Florida State late in the season. But I could see them tripping up once, even twice in that first 5 weeks.
Well, I mean, if you look at the schedule, the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, they've got three ranked teams in there.
Ranked teams.
You're at Virginia Tech. Auburn's certainly good enough to beat you in Clemson, I think. At Louisville, that's going to be a tough one with Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, I mean, they you're right. They come out of this undefeated, and they're in the hunt for sure. Because then the only thing that stops them is a real Clemsoning or losing to Florida State, you know. But other than that, yeah.
Like a lot of these teams, as I just said, it's about overranking. So Clemson might be a little bit higher, but they can prove themselves. Penn State,
I'm not seeing it.
They had that surge at the end of the season. They ended up winning the Big Ten, and they had played a part in a very entertaining Rose Bowl, but ultimately lost it. I have to think that this ranking is just a carryover from that. I don't see them being the number 16 in the country again.
But they've got that lit helmet number now.
Yeah. For the one game that they'll wear a helmet number. They'll be so slow with the helmet number.
Yeah, it'll slow them down by 8%, which is good because that'll keep them from crashing into each other going too fast at 21% faster with the lighter jersey. So it's a safety thing.
Here's the thing for Penn State, too. Their schedule isn't the most difficult. The problem is... they have Michigan, Ohio State in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, that's tough.
home against Michigan, they're at Ohio State, and they're at Michigan State the week after that.
Yeah, I mean, that's
sure,
pretty...
you finish up with Rutgers, Nebraska, Maryland, but it won't matter if you can't get through those 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that Rutgers, Nebraska, and Maryland are actually in the Big Ten.
Yeah, so do we, so don't feel bad.
And then, yeah.
I think with Penn State, they rode a win against Ohio State into the Big Ten championship game.
A lucky win. One of the luckiest wins you can ever think of.
Right. And then they rode that Rose Bowl performance to with name recognition and the writers. And I could be wrong about this, but I think they're overcompensating a little bit for the Sandusky thing. Like, okay, now we can't make it look like we're against them. And I think that's where they are. Six. I don't think they're going to be a bad team, but number six, absolutely not. No way.
No. They'll settle into the teens ultimately, but six is not. It's not.
No.
It's not them. It's not what they are. I mean, we can say the same about Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma gets the benefit of the doubt of being the – well, maybe. I mean, it's either them or Oklahoma State, but they'll – one of the best of the Big 12, whatever the Big 12 can give you this season. The question for Oklahoma that I have is the only way that they make the playoff being undefeated? That's the only way they can get through, right?
Yeah, because they don't have a conference championship game, right?
I thought the Big 12 finally got one. Like, this was the year that they finally get to, like, use the waiver and get one.
Being undefeated, it depends. Yeah, if everybody else loses, then no, they could get in there with a loss. But it's going to take, I think, a little more for them to slide past. Like, say if Oklahoma's undefeated and Alabama's got one loss, we all know Alabama's going to get the bid, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so it's...
Oklahoma gets the, you know, they get Ohio State early, so that's a early loss that'll hurt them. But they have the ranked teams on their schedule right now are Texas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and then West Virginia at the end of the season.
They can go a long way towards making their case. If they can beat the Buckeyes in Columbus, that goes a long way towards making their case for them.
Of course.
They will not, though.
I'm not going to comment on that because I just won't. I can't jinx anything, so I have no feelings on that game one way or the other. I mean, I want the Buckeyes to win, but I will not predict it.
It's just Oklahoma is one of those teams that, like, they can have the offense. They might have the offense again, but just like all these Big 12 teams, defense is not at a premium, and if they do end up being the best of those teams and they win out and they get to the playoff, they're going to get their ass kicked again.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Oklahoma is that you've always got teams every year, and we see it, I think, again this year. They get ranked pretty much in the same spot every year. Oklahoma's one of those teams. I don't think they're this good. They could drop a long way. If they lose to Ohio State, you could see them drop down into the low teens, I think. You know what I mean? And it could just keep going from there. That schedule... Again, by the time we get to Texas, will Texas still be 23? Will they be higher than that? Will they be lower than that? We don't know. It's just they're a mirage. I don't see them being this good. I don't think they're worthy of a number. What is it? Seven ranking? Absolutely not.
Yes.
The other thing to take note, of course, with Oklahoma is they have a great quarterback or a good quarterback in Baker Mayfield, but this is also their first season in 18 years without Bob Stoops, who retired midway through the offseason. Their new head coach is a younger coach, Lincoln Riley. So,
Not that Bob Stoops
was ever like the greatest game manager that you've ever seen.
But he was one of the best yellers I've ever seen. I mean, my God, could that guy scream and holler? Probably the best in the NCAA, I think, with that.
Yeah. So, that second week game against Ohio State, not just a testing ground for, you know, is Oklahoma good? Is Lincoln Riley any good?
Well, and, you know, speaking of guys that have been around a while, isn't this like Baker Mayfield's, I don't know, fifth or sixth season with the Sooners?
He's been around a while, too. Yeah. I believe he's a senior. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but he'll be around. Two of the most
experienced college football quarterbacks in the country battle as the Ohio State Buckeyes host the Oklahoma Sooners. Eighth-year senior JT Barrett leads the Buckeyes against fifth-year starter. Anyway.
Yeah. So that's the Sooners. Right behind them is Washington, another team that, you know.
I like this team.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. Washington was good last year, and they, you know, we joked about them at the beginning of last year where it was they have all these seniors coming back, so they're going to be good. And then they ended up actually being pretty good. They get the benefit of an easy schedule. The only ranked team is Stanford, and they're at Stanford late in the year.
Stanford may not be ranked. I mean, you know, it'll depend on how their season goes. They may not be ranked at that point.
Yeah,
or they may be ranked number three. You just don't know.
They have an easy schedule, and the Pac-12's down. So they'll probably be the team that USC plays in the championship game, just based on process of elimination.
How long has Chris Peterson been there now with the Huskies?
Oh, God.
I think it's
third or fourth, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to start seeing some of that come to fruition now. I like him as a coach. I thought that Washington was a great fit for him because he's not going to be dealing with all the pressure you would get at, say, a USC or UCLA, one of the bigger schools. Washington's big enough that you can recruit with the big guys, but just small enough where he's not going to be under that intense spotlight. And I just like him as the coach of this team. And I think what we saw last year is them heading up, I don't think they peaked last year. I think they were ascending last year. And I really like this team a lot. I think they're going to be good.
I'm going to say peaked last year.
Okay.
Just to be contrarian about it.
But, I mean, you never know what happens when you walk into the iconic jaws of Husky Stadium.
This is true.
You never know. I thought I saw that they had some sort of awful helmet that they're going to be wearing at some point.
Oh, I'm sure they do. They probably got two or three.
It was uniquely
bad. I can't remember why.
I'm imagining probably just some sort of giant cartoon dog on one side and the numbers on the other side.
A sideways W on the other side that lights up with LED lights. You know, I'm going to get my LED uniforms. You guys know this, right? It's going to happen.
I know. You keep pushing for it.
It's going to happen. Someone's going to finally pull the trigger and do it. That team from like Texas State Wahoos, whatever they were, that I sent you guys that message about, I thought, but those just turned out to be reflector numbers, which really bummed me out.
Oh, okay. Well, at least the idea's on people's minds.
That's right. And I will keep pushing it until it finally happens.
So behind Washington is you have the other big W team of the country, Wisconsin, ranked number 9. My thought on Wisconsin is I think they might be underranked. And I look at their schedule. They might pull an Iowa where there's nothing to scare them. They host Michigan the second to last week of the season. But I think if there's a team that could end up screwing up Ohio State's season, and stealing their Big Ten playoff spot, might be the Wisconsin Badgers.
I you know what? I'm kind of with you on that. They're always good, and they've got a really pretty easy schedule. BYU is a game, and now it's in Wisconsin, so you kind of got to give them a little bit of the benefit on that. But really, they don't play anybody tough.
They don't play anybody. They got Michigan. That's it.
I mean, you know, I guess you could say Nebraska maybe, but, you know, Maryland, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa could be a little bit of a trick. But, yeah, it's Michigan and that's it. Yeah, they could really.
You get the benefit of being in the western part of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And it's just the Big Ten is always going to break down to the Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State trifecta of the East.
Right.
And then Wisconsin or Iowa or Nebraska maybe. Like, only one of those teams in the West is ever any good.
Yeah.
And this year it's Wisconsin, and I don't know.
I agree.
You know, they've had the same coach for a while, and even no matter who the coach has been, they have the same philosophy. They're always a big, tough team.
But yeah, they threw the ball a little bit last year, too. And if you remember, who was it they played in the first week of the season? I think they got the win last year. It was an SEC team. And they beat them. I don't remember. Maybe Auburn? Or might have been LSU. LSU, was it?
Yeah.
Did they win that game? I'm pretty sure they did.
They did, 16-14.
Yeah, I knew it was a low-scoring game. But, yeah, the Badgers are always tough. And I believe me, it does not break my heart to see that they're not on Ohio State's schedule this year.
Well, and I'm looking at their schedule from last year. So they lost 3 games last season. They lost against Michigan 14-7. And they lost to Ohio State in overtime. And they lost Penn State by 7 in the Big Ten championship game. So, you know, I remember that Michigan game being one that, like, that's one Wisconsin could have easily won. Against Ohio State in overtime is one you can win. That Penn State game, they probably should have beat Penn State too.
Yeah, the Michigan game. What I remember about that is like you guys didn't game plan this right because you're not doing the things you can do to beat Michigan. They weren't trying the things that I thought would do well against Michigan, and it was just kind of one that they. Because their offense or the defense shut down Michigan. They had no trouble doing that in Ann Arbor. But they could not put together any kind of offense against a defense that really wasn't that great. I don't know what the deal was with that game. It was just an aberration, I think. But, yeah, I think the Badgers, they could cause some problems. I agree with you.
Yeah, I think the Badgers are going to be my sneaky team. Number 10, Oklahoma State, intrigues me because here's my question for Oklahoma State. How many wins is Mike Gundy's mullet worth?
Oh, I got to think at least 4.
Have you seen this thing?
No, but
no,
a mullet, just a mullet on spec is good for 4 wins.
It's one of the best things I've ever seen.
I'm pretty sure
college football.
I'm pretty sure a mullet is a quintessential football haircut.
Yeah. I mean, right, 4 wins I think just on spec without even seeing it, you got to go 4.
Yeah.
And if it's a nice long one, I mean, if it's something that's making people in Kentucky jealous of, then we're really onto something here.
Hold on. Here's one picture of it.
All right.
I'll find a couple more because you need multiple angles to properly judge.
Oh, man. Now, that's about as fine a mullet as you're going to see. That's your real business in the front, party in the rear mullet right there, isn't it?
I dare say that mullet's good enough for a conference championship.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike, you're right, because I was going to say, you know, Zach had the Badgers. It's a sneaky team. To me, it's Oklahoma State.
Really?
They are my sneaky team. They're the team I think could really make some noise this year. So you throw that mullet into the mix, and, yeah, I'm liking this team a whole bunch. Yep.
And doesn't that just seem like the perfect haircut for a football coach in Oklahoma?
Yeah. Look at the perfect haircut for a football coach anywhere. They should all do that. It should be a rule.
Business part.
Yeah. The diagram breaks down what part is business and what part is party.
Well, yeah, I like Oklahoma State a lot this year. I think they're going to be the team to beat in the Big 12. I think they're better than Oklahoma. And their schedule, looking at it, again, pretty easy. They don't really have a real test until Texas. In October, then they got West Virginia and Oklahoma. They have a kind of a tough stretch there with Texas, West Virginia, and Oklahoma, but I think they're going to be good. I like them a lot. This is a team you could see sneak up and actually maybe make some playoff noise out of the Big 12 this year. If anybody's going to do it, it'll be these guys.
It is also the 10-year anniversary of I'm a man, I'm 40.
Oh, so now he's a man and he's 50, and he decided to go with a haircut that he should have worn when he was 20. This is perfect.
Yeah. Mike Gundy is, you know, setting things up for a perfect storm on the season.
Yes, really. He is. He really has.
Like, I've been waiting for weeks to talk about this stupid mullet. It's so good.
It's a very good mullet. I dare say it's better than the Yager mullet.
It's pretty – well, yeah, Yager kind of like half committed to regrowing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like –
this mullet, you see, this is not an accidental mullet. This is not a poorly performed mullet. This mullet, you can see some intricate work went into. This is a styled mullet. Like, this was on purpose with a specific design in mind. This is what I want it to look like. I've got the hair people working on it, and look at that. It's magnificent. A sight to behold.
Like, when he showed up to Media Day with it, and I saw the picture, I said, oh, he's wearing extensions, or he's wearing a wig. And now, like, as I'm looking for these pictures, he started growing this thing back at the end of last season. So this was a conscious choice that he made to, to go on this journey. Well, and here we are.
I tell you, you know, that's, like I said, that's one that some thought and some work went into. This is a fine mullet as you're going to see.
It's pretty darn good. All right. Let's see. All right. We'll kind of go through the rest of these quickish. Michigan is your number 11 team. You know, they're going to be good. They're going to run the ball. They're going to be angry with Jim Harbaugh. You know, all those practices in Italy over the offseason that they do.
Why?
Because Jim Harbaugh likes to stick it to the system. And
Italy?
Yeah.
Here's the thing with the Michigan Wolverines. They were so excited to get Jim Harbaugh back, and that's great. Okay, wonderful. You got your guy, but you know what? He's not able to do what he did at Stanford. I don't know why. I think, A, because, believe it or not, I think Stanford gets better athletes than Michigan gets. Secondly, he hasn't delivered. I don't see what he's done. I mean, yes, they're better than they were when Rich Rodriguez was there, but I would be coaching them to be better than when Rich – I mean, talk about the worst matchup in the history of college sports with coach and team. It was Rodriguez and the Michigan Wolverines. Harbaugh is overrated, and this team is not near as good as people think they are, and it's as simple as that. And I'm not saying that because I'm an Ohio State fan, although that's part of it, I'll admit. But look, the truth is, you look at the numbers and show me what he's done.
I mean, he's won a lot of games.
Yeah.
The problem ends up being, of course, like I think Michigan is miles better than with Jim Harbaugh than they were previous.
Sure, absolutely.
The problem is, and you will love this problem, Greg, they haven't been able to get over the Ohio State hump. So they haven't.
Or the Michigan State hump more times than not.
Well, the Michigan State hump last year was such a disaster. The way that they lost that game to Michigan
State—that was,
State.
I think, 2 years ago. Was that one
the punt?
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
You sure?
Pretty sure. Yeah,
it was. Michigan State had a terrible season last year.
Yeah, you're talking about the 2 years ago, but that's my point: is that right. they are good until the big boys show up. Wisconsin should have beaten them. We just talked about it 5 minutes ago. Right. Wisconsin should have won that game.
Right, and then they lost to Iowa by a point.
Right,
they lost to Ohio State in double overtime.
And Ohio State game, I mean, I don't know if you guys watched it. I know I did. Ohio State had no business winning that game. None.
Right.
That wasn't a great Ohio State comeback. That was Michigan grabbing their throats and choking themselves to death is what happened in that game.
Right, and that's what I mean. Like, Michigan is worlds better than they were without Jim Harbaugh. The problem is they just can't win when they need to. They can win all the other games.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't win the important ones at the end of it.
I'm going to talk about some intangibles here, because the thing that really sold me on Michigan not being all they're cracked up to be was after that Ohio State game last year where the Buckeyes had that comeback and Jim Harbaugh had what can only be described as a temper tantrum.
Yep.
And I guess maybe that kind of coaching style will have more success in college because – you know, you're still dealing with young kids who can maybe be swayed by the fiery rhetoric. But at the same time, I don't think that a coach who kind of embraces that sort of mentality of, oh, a call didn't go our way in a game we should have won anyway, I'm going to throw a hissy fit about it. I don't know that if that works.
It doesn't.
I don't think it's going to work in instilling sort of a long-term sort of culture of success. And I think, yeah, Zach, you're absolutely right. They're better off with Jim Harbaugh than without him, but I don't think he's going to be able to accomplish much in the long term just kind of based on how he's conducted himself.
Yeah, because – go ahead.
Well, do you think because of all that sort of stuff is – Does Jim Harbaugh just get carte blanche at Michigan and he will be there until he no longer wants to? Or does he have a timetable where Michigan's going to be like, you know what? I mean, we win 10 games every year, but we're not winning the 11th and 12th like we want to.
I think it's somewhere in the middle. But if you look at Harbaugh's history, it's not going to be Michigan that decides this. It'll be something that Jim Harbaugh does, because if you look at it, he kind of ran himself out of Stanford. He definitely ran himself out of the 49ers, and then he took the Michigan job. This is a guy, this intensity thing, I mean, you know, the announcers, the analysts love to talk about it. He's intense, look at him, you know, and blah, 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 and this and that. But you know what? It wears on people. It wears on your players. It wears on your administration. It wears on everybody. And that's the thing. His act, you've got to catch that lightning in a bottle in the first 3 years, because if you don't, you're never going to get it, because by then he has worn everybody down so much and they are so tired of him and his act that it just falls apart. And the Wolverines.
But that's why it always works so much better in college. Michigan than it did with the 49ers.
Sure, but it still only works for just a little while in college, too. I mean, you know, you want to talk, yeah, okay, Nick Saban, he's a dour, never happy about anything guy, but you never see him, like, just explode and lose his freaking mind on the sidelines. It just doesn't.
I mean, I did. One of my favorite moments from last season was him yelling at Nick or Lane Kiffin on the sideline. That was great.
But you know what I mean, though. But he's not like kicking his clipboard on the field and all that stuff. It's, you know, it's a different kind of thing. Urban Meyer, you know, I'm sure the different style. Harbaugh is just that intensity. It's just like you can only like operate at that pitch for so long until it just wears you out. And I think that's what happens with the Wolverines, even during the season. It's just so intense, so much all the time. He doesn't know how to put the foot on the brakes a little bit and back off a little bit. And that's what's ruined him at Stanford and at San Francisco, and it'll happen again here. He will, you know, he has carte blanche for now, but believe me, his act will start getting tired with them, and they'll move on because he will leave them no choice.
I think given the amount of money they're paying him means that he does have a timetable of some sort. You know, Nick Saban makes ungodly amounts of money, but he's won a national title or two, so.
Or five, yeah.
Or five, yeah. So, you know, they're content to keep paying him that. But Jim Harbaugh, I do think, does he make more than Saban? Is he the highest paid coach in college football?
I don't think so. He's up there.
He's got to be up there, though.
He's up there, that's for sure, yeah.
And I can't see the University of Michigan paying him that much money in perpetuity to get close but not win. And maybe the fact that he's Jim Harbaugh and the fact that he has actually improved the team to a degree gets him a longer leash, and it might take a bit longer than it would otherwise for the university to start questioning how much money they're paying him. But I've got to think that within 5 years of this, if they haven't won a national title, he's going to start, you know, he's going to be on the hot seat.
Has he beaten Ohio State yet since he's been back?
No. I don't believe so.
No. And, you know, ask John Cooper. John Cooper was a great football coach 11 games out of the year for the Buckeyes. He couldn't beat Michigan. And I think he went 1-11-1 against the Wolverines in his time at Ohio State. And finally, it was like enough's enough, you know, because first off, if you're always going to lose one game a year, it makes it very tough to win a national championship. So that makes it tough. And it makes it tough to go to the Rose Bowl under the old system and all that. But with Harbaugh, I think he's a guy, he's better suited for a program like Stanford where the expectations aren't quite as high. But they, you know, they have dropped him in the middle of this pressure cooker that is Michigan football. They aren't going to lower their academic standards, like some people suggest they should, to get, you know, athletes that might be great athletes but not such great students. So that's not going to happen. And thirdly, I just don't think his act plays well enough, long enough, to have any long-term sustained success. And that's going to be what does it for him, and that's what does him in the end. He might get an Ohio State win here somewhere or there, but, I mean, and at the end of the day, anybody involved with either one of these two teams, if you say, who would you rather have, Harbaugh or Meyer, I think everybody's going to pick Meyer because he's just shown he can do it. And Harbaugh is just I don't know. It's like I said, it's just that pitch. It's that intensity. It's that just constant drive that gets to be too much.
The last time Michigan beat Ohio State was 2011.
Okay.
The Brady Hoke Michigan Wolverines.
I remember that. Good for Brady Hoke. I always liked him. Thought he got a raw deal.
And Michigan, the other thing that Michigan has going against them this year is just the schedule's tough. You know, I think you're going to learn a lot about Michigan in week one when they play Florida, you know, because that's a team that's kind of similar to Michigan in the grinded out defense first sort of thing. But you'll learn if their offense is going to be good enough. And then their other ranked games this year, they're at Penn State, they're at Wisconsin, and then they're home against Ohio State. But, you know, location doesn't necessarily matter in that game a whole lot.
It used to. But yeah. I think the last two times we played them up there, we just beat the daylights out of them. I mean, it wasn't even really a contest. And I just saw that he's not even sure who his starting quarterback is going into the first week of the season. That's never a good sign either.
I don't think they were last year either.
Yeah, but I just think that for what they want to be, I don't think they're ever going to get back to that because it's just, you know, well, they've never really been that. To be completely honest about it, they've never been what you would consider a truly upper echelon football program. They don't have a big string of national championships behind them. They've got a couple. You know, and I'm not going to go off on a whole Michigan rant. I'll save that for a different show. No. But the point is I think that they're a little overrated, and I think that he's a guy that his act will run out quickly up there.
Michigan is Ohio State's UCLA in the same way that it is the USC.
Right.
UCLA can get up there sometimes, but it doesn't matter. Like they're always the also ran to their big brother rival. But let's go through the rest of these pretty quick. I don't have too much to say about the rest of it. It's just any of these teams past like probably past 13, maybe 14 are kind of irrelevant and they'll be jumbled up 100 times over.
Of the three, you know, like going past Auburn here. I like Auburn. I think Auburn could be good this year.
I've heard a lot about Auburn and LSU.
And LSU?
LSU gets a full year with Ed Orgeron at coach right now. You know, their quarterback situation is a little bit better. And I think their schedule is actually not bad. I heard someone talking about it. They're at Alabama, and that's the tough one.
Yeah.
Right? It, you know, actually, they do have a pretty hard stretch. At Florida, home against Auburn, at Alabama, and they're at Tennessee late in the year. They've got a tough schedule, but you know, I think that they're a team that can get through some of that.
I think they're a team that you know, in 5 weeks you're going to be looking at them up there where say Penn State and Clemson are, and you know, maybe they don't stay there. But yeah, I like LSU. I love seeing the Auburn Tigers back in the mix because I think of the SEC, they're my favorite SEC team, probably them or LSU. Woo! And so it's always good. You know, I think the Iron Bowl to me is the best rivalry in college football, even better than Ohio State, Michigan. That is just that's a freaking blood packed. We hate each other, and it's beautiful. I love it. So it's good when Auburn's good. Makes that game more interesting.
I totally agree. Always a game that you have to like. if you had to pick a college football game to watch, that's probably it.
Yeah, definitely.
Like even when one team's bad and the other one's good, it's like it's still the intensity is always there.
When they're both good, though, I mean, it's just college football doesn't get any better than that, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. That's just as good as it gets.
Those couple of years when Cam Newton was there and they were 1-2 or 2-3 or whatever going against each other. That was special stuff.
Yep.
You know, the kick six. You know, in what rivalry does someone poison a tree because they lost?
Right.
not many other places you get that.
And only that, but after so the Alabama fan poisoned the trees at Auburn, and then Alabama fans, fearing an Auburn retaliation, patrolled their stadium with guns. That's both amazing and terrifying.
That's what I mean. You say what you want about Michigan, Ohio State, or USC, UCLA, but we ain't doing that shit.
All right. Stanford will be okay.
Yeah. I think you know, you're looking at them probably right about where they're going to be all season.
Yeah. Georgia, I think, is too high.
Yep.
Louisville's probably okay.
Yep.
Florida, I can live with.
Give them an offense, and I can see it moving up. But if it's the same problems on offense they had last year, this is about where they're going to be.
Miami needs to prove themselves.
Yep.
South Florida, sure, whatever.
They're going to be one of the small, you know, they are in the running for what's that bowl called? The outside
Papa
the
John's.
No, the big bowl bid that goes to the one of the other conferences. I can't remember
The group of five.
The group of five, yeah. They're going to be in the running for that if everything goes right.
Right. They're the highest ranked non-top school right now. And because they're in that American Athletic Conference, so they take the Western Michigan or Houston spot
from
last year. Kansas State, I'm surprised to see up there.
They'll be fine until they play Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and probably Texas. So they'll be good, but they'll be, you know, 9-3 if that's the best they can hope for.
Virginia Tech back up in the rankings as well. West Virginia, that's a school that lost its way. I mean, they were relevant for those couple years.
Yeah.
But they're a perfect fit for the Big 12 in that you got to outscore everybody a play.
Yeah. I don't know how anybody enjoys watching Big 12 football. I really don't. I mean, it's not fun to me because there is no defense at all.
Yeah. I like seeing Texas back in the rankings, you know, as much as I kind of despise the University of Texas, whether it's because my mom went to A&M or because I grew up rooting for USC and that Vince Young game crushed me.
Yeah.
They're good for college football. Like, yep. It's nice that Oklahoma is still winning the Big 12, but the Big 12 is better when it's Texas and Oklahoma.
Right. Texas is one of those schools that they, you know, like the, you know, they raise all the other boats around them when they're good because it's Texas. I mean, they're, you know, a huge, huge, huge campus, huge student body, and traditional powerhouse. And football is better with them than it is without them being good.
Washington State, you know, I'm actually pleasantly surprised to see Washington State ranked in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Mike Leach went up there and it took a while, but his philosophy finally caught on. And it's much like his Texas Tech teams where they score a shit ton of points.
Yep.
And going to the Palouse and Wazoo is a weird place to play. And they can sometimes make a run for it. You know, maybe they'll surprise somebody here. But they're a fun group.
I always like them just because I dig their logo.
Yeah. Yeah. And finally, my second favorite team in all of college football, the Tennessee Volunteers.
Why?
I don't know, man. I think it's that checkerboard. When I was a kid, I loved the checkerboard end zone and the orange and white. I don't know. I've always loved the Vols. I don't know why. So I hope they are actually good this year.
Tennessee is the team that perpetually disappoints.
Yep.
Like
they're the UCLA of the SEC.
No, completely. They're supposed to be good and they never are.
Uh-huh.
And there's no reason why they shouldn't.
And then they had Peyton Manning for, you know,
That poor bastard goes out and loses to Florida every single year. The following year, a guy named T. Martin leads the Vols to their only national championship, or, you know, modern national championship.
Right. Peyton Manning couldn't win a national championship for Tennessee. Like,
no.
What are you supposed to do?
No, but T. Martin was able to do it.
Makes no sense.
God, you guys probably don't remember it, man, but that back then when Peyton was with the Vols, that Tennessee-Florida game, that was like Iron Bowl relevance back when it was taking place back then. It was amazing. Really cool.
I'm trying to look at these other teams that received votes and see if there's anybody worth a damn. TCU going to have to score a ton of points.
Yep.
Utah's always tough at home. Notre Dame, how long does Chip Kelly have with Notre Dame? Like, or not Chip Kelly, Brian Kelly.
Chip
Brian.
Probably Brian. A while.
Really?
Yeah. I think Notre Dame has finally realized that the days of being Notre, you know, capital N, capital D, Notre Dame are over. I think that they're a team now that you got to look at it and be realistic. Again, I don't know if, you know, this is the smartest thing I'm ever going to say, but it's the academic standards. And you've got to understand that in this day and age, you've got a lot of kids out there that are going to football. You know, they're learning how to be football players in high school, and they're going to college to be football players. They're not there to get your damn education.
We're not there to play school.
Right, exactly. And you know, I mean, good for Notre Dame to keep the standards high and all that, but until they decide they're going to recruit amongst the same pool of players that everybody else is, they're going to be where they are, I think. And that's not a racial thing. That black kids, white kids, kids of any, you know, creed, color, whatever, are all doing this now. It's just a matter of Notre Dame's like, nope, you still got to get the grades and all that, which is fine. But it's not going to happen until they decide we're going to recruit the same people Ohio State does, that Alabama does, that everybody else does. Then they might be able to get back into it. But until then, forget it.
What else was there? You know, everybody else is you get the same group of teams that always get like those pity votes at the end of the thing. Boise State still semi-relevant in the Mountain West.
My Pittsburgh Are Panthers. They? No, yeah, they're not.
Well, in the Mountain West, they are.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Mountain West is going to be Boise State and San Diego State to fight over. NC State, Northwestern, Pittsburgh.
I like the Panthers. I've always liked the Pitt Panthers, too. Like, they're another one of my, you know, other favorite teams in college football. That's the beauty of college football. You got like 100 teams. You can have like 15 favorites, no problem. Won't even break a sweat.
Who is giving the votes to Appalachian State, I need to know?
Well, this is what their second or third year at Division I level or whatever we're calling it now.
Yeah,
I can see it. I can see them sneaking into the top 25. You know,
I'm surprised nobody gave the obligatory vote to North Dakota State because it's, you know, we're the best FCS school and we win the national championship every
year. I'm bummed that I don't see my Toledo Rockets getting any others receiving votes.
They got one vote in the coaches poll.
Okay.
The coaches poll is funny because look how many other receiving votes there are in the coaches poll versus in the AP poll.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody gave Army a vote. Somebody gave Maryland a vote. Colorado State.
Like, Maryland?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be funny if that happens.
Yeah, right? Like, right. It's just not. And, like, there's a school, like, Mississippi State got a bunch of votes in the coaches poll, probably because of the SEC schools. They got no votes in the AP poll.
Well,
I just remember listening to your show last year. There was this stretch of time where Michigan State, well, not Michigan State, but Michigan would always get like one number one
right.
place
yeah.
vote,
mm-hmm.
and yep. it was like from some guy. It must have been some guy at like the Ann Arbor Register or something.
Yeah.
Well, and like you look at the first place votes in the AP and the coaches poll right now, like. Clemson has 7 first place votes in the coaches poll. USC has none. USC has 2 first place votes in the AP poll. None for Clemson. It's like, yeah, okay, they're national champions, but that doesn't mean that you have to give them a first place vote.
I don't honestly.
You can say that Alabama is the best team in the country. Like, it's not going to kill
you. Not only that, but we've seen these coaches, and we talked about it at the beginning of this segment, how they are. Why are you letting these guys vote? Clearly, they're not paying any attention to anything. Somebody from the information department's doing these votes. Come on. Why even have this stupid poll?
Some of these coaches don't see half these schools. They look at the schools that they play in their conference,
yep.
and they look at whoever they're playing this week.
Yeah, I mean, if you think Nick Saban's going home after an Alabama game and catching the late-night game out of the Pac-12 on TV, you're nuts. That's not what's happening here.
Well, he's Nick Saban. He might be.
Well, you never know, but... So real quick, before we wrap it up, guys, who do you like for your playoff teams?
I like the top 4 as it is.
Okay.
I like Alabama, Ohio State, Florida State, SC. You know, the only thing that I might say is maybe Wisconsin, as my sleeper, can knock off Ohio State and get in there. They're not going to win any games in the playoff if that were the case, but I could see them working their way into it. And then it's... You can't not pick for Alabama right now. It's just as much as I would love to see SC finally get back to their proper glory and that sort of stuff. It's Alabama's world and we're still just living in it. Despite them finally losing, it's, you know, the wheel turns over and we're back to the start. And,
well, they lost on a last second touchdown too. So, you know, it wasn't
Had that game been 3 minutes longer, they probably could have won.
Yeah. Last time they got their asses kicked, it was by the Ohio State Buckeyes. Just saying. I like Alabama. I like Ohio State. I like SC. But, you know, I'm going to throw my Oklahoma State Cowboys into the mix. And I say at the end of the season, the Oklahoma State Cowboys, because of the shittiness of the Big 12 and because I think they're a notch above every other team in that division, in that conference, excuse me, that'll be enough to propel them into the playoffs. So I'm going Bama, Buckeyes, Trojans, and the Oklahoma State Cowboys are my 4.
Get that mullet on the national stage.
That's right.
I don't know. The top 4 ads presented now look solid, and I honestly can't see those 4 being dethroned without some major upsets, which, you know what, maybe those happen, but trying to predict a major upset before the season even starts is kind of like trying to
pick
the weather on the exact day, you know,
five years from now. You know what, though? It's funny. I think with the advent of the playoff, the college football season still is as screwy as ever. It always is with teams beating each other. But, like, this is the top 4 now. The season itself will be screwy as all hell. But because of how the playoff has worked, somehow this will still be the playoff teams at the end of it.
Yeah.
Those teams in the top 4, somebody's going to lose to somebody that they shouldn't. But they're still going to keep their spot in the playoff because people have kind of figured out that, well, since we have the playoff and we understand what we want from the playoff, we want it to be the best teams, we can judge a team even through its faults.
Right. What you're going to see is as it's like...
You don't have to necessarily run the table every single year. You can lose occasionally, and that's fine. And that's why you get games like Alabama, Florida State. You're getting these teams to play each other because they realize you can learn more about your team. You can be better prepared for the more important games at the end of the season.
Well, not only that, but a win against one, a win in a game like that scores you huge points at the end of the season when it comes time to look at, you know, all things being equal. Well, Alabama beat Florida State or Florida State beat Alabama, whatever. If we come back in 5 weeks, 5 through 25 is going to look completely different than it does right now. But probably the top four will be about the same, I'd say.
All righty. That's that.
We'll do the NFL on the next edition of Basically a Sports Show. That'll be fun.
I love the start of college football season. I'm bummed that I have to miss it, but you know, I'll do my best to keep myself occupied on a cruise to Mexico. I think I'll be okay.
Oh, my tough gig. Wow. Gee, sucks to be you, man.
Yeah, it's a, you know, a bachelor party on a cruise ship.
Yeah. Tough.
You'll manage.
You'll be all right. Okay, so is that it? We dead? We ready to
pack it in?
Okay, well, there you go. There is our college football preview. We will do the NFL next week here on Basically a Sports Show. Until then, you can follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and YouTube, and find us on Facebook. Go Rockets. Go Bucks. We'll see you next time.
War Eagle.
Go Sun Devils. Fork 'em.